Pickle time. It's pickle time. Oh, thank God it's pickle time. Welcome back, baddies. Episode 49.
I'm sorry, but we haven't had a martini. We haven't done TD time in like 6 months. So, for those of you who are wondering what the fuck this is, well, we haven't really been... Allie's having a hard time with it.
Mine is so bad.
It's really not that bad.
Mine tastes like mold.
Ew. It's just gin, hers is vodka, and pickle juice, which is all
mine tastes old and, like, decrepit. Like, it tastes musty.
It smells musty.
It's, like, something ain't right about mine, and I'm trying to figure out what it is, and we were thinking maybe...
It's not that bad. It's actually kind of good.
No, sometimes it's good. Sometimes I get, a fucking musty... I don't know. Like, get a good sip in there.
I mean, it tastes fine to me.
All right, well, I'm not fucking crazy, okay? Watch me have fucking mold. Because we were wondering if it tastes bad because the vodka that we used for mine has been sitting in there without a lid. It had, like, a pour spout that had a lid, but it wasn't sealed.
It was like, there's, like, a hole, yeah.
And it's been there forever, but I've never had vodka go bad flavor-wise. Like, it just, like, tastes like vodka.
I mean, it's vodka, right? So it's, like, it's sterile in itself.
But what in this cup is tasting musty?
The only difference between our two cups is the type of alcohol.
I know.
Take a sip of mine. Tell me if this one's musty. Because if so, it's the pickle juice. Because I'm not tasting must in your cup. See, she just has a fucking problem. Is it musty?
It's just gross. Yours is actually worse than mine.
I told you you weren't gonna like it. Whatever, I like it.
Gin is not... It's not for me.
We just felt like having a little drinky.
Actually, we were sitting here. We were not gonna drink. And Madison said, she crawls to my booze cabinet and starts looking through.
Open it up.
And here we are.
You know when you just have like a stressful day and it just like adds up and up and up. And then you're kind of like, I just want to fucking drink. Mm-hmm. I've been good. Like I haven't really drank since dry January. Like we had a glass of wine. Like I haven't really been feeling the urge to drink. Yeah. All of a sudden it said...
Yeah.
It hit me like a ton of bricks. Yeah. For my baddies out there that are football fans, look for me on the big screen this weekend because I'm going to be at the Super Bowl dressed as a giant eagle.
Yes.
So just wanted to start off with a little Eagles. Good luck. I know you guys don't give a flying fuck. They're like, what is Eagles? It's rude of me to assume our followers don't know what the Eagles are.
Well, I mean, I know what the Eagles are, but I don't really watch football. However, everybody watches the Super Bowl for the most part.
I need good juju this weekend, you guys, because I'm going to be at the Super Bowl. My fiance is a huge Eagles fan. We're going with his dad. It's a big deal. Give me that E-A-G-L-E-S Eagles.
Is that their chant?
Fly, Eagles, fly on the road to victory. Yeah.
Okay.
I could sing the whole song.
It's funny because yesterday she was a Steelers fan.
I'm still a Steelers fan, but I'm a blended girl now.
Okay.
So, welcome back, baddies. That was a long-winded opening way of saying we needed a pickle teeny. They're like you guys shit. Are bouncing around. What the fuck are you talking about?
I really just wish mine tasted a little bit better so I could enjoy my drink, but I almost feel like this drink is holding me hostage right now.
Well, finish it and then it'll be done.
Well, that's what I was saying. We should have just taken it as a shot, but I think adding a straw will help me drink it faster.
We are actually on our topics of the day. Gonna loop back around to a topic that we've touched on multiple times. We've touched on each other. She's like, what the fuck?
Not what I was expecting.
When I didn't clear your opening. Run that by me.
She did not run that one by me.
Which is abuse.
Yeah.
That sounds so fucked up.
We're not laughing at...
No, we're not laughing at abuse. It's just the way I said that.
We're just in a silly, goofy mood.
Silly, goofy. I haven't had a drink in 2 months.
And okay, I'm getting off the nick. Like, things are fucking wild.
Things are happening up in here. The reason that this kind of came to the top of my mind is one of our followers reached out to us. One of our followers? One of our listeners reached out to us. And just kind of told us her story about her current situationship and how our podcast has helped her and kind of gave a me.
That was like yours.
I kind of gave a me the details. Jesus Christ. I'm like, why am I blacked out right now?
I don't know. Same. We have 2 sips. Probably because this is all alcohol.
Yeah, for sure. Kind of gave us the details. She didn't kind of give a shit. Gave us... really, Madison. Gave us the details of her quite... horrible situation. And it reminded me that we haven't talked about abuse in a while and what that looks like and all the different ways that that can look. Because I know we've talked about abuse, like, okay, there's obvious abuse, but there's also abuse that's still abuse that might not feel like abuse when you're in it. Should I say abuse again?
Yeah. Well, and abuse. I got you. I'll say it.
Thanks, bud.
Abuse isn't just physical. Okay, I'm done. Not helpful in this serious topic. Abuse isn't always something that's physical. Obviously, that's terrible, and we don't like physical abuse. I don't know
why. Great.
oh my God, I have the giggles now. Fucking I gotta pull fucked. It together. Because abuse isn't always something that's physical. A lot of the times, the most detrimental abuse, because yes, getting punched in the face is horrible and traumatic, but you heal from that. Things that take a lot longer to heal from, emotional abuse and, you know, manipulation and gaslighting and your trust and just your overall view of the world as a person when you're with somebody who kind of distorts the truth and reality for so long with you. And sometimes it's not that obvious that they're doing that and that you're in that situation. And so this particular person that reached out was kind of explaining her situation, and it's always so clear to the people on the outside.
The person who's listening is like, what the fuck?
Like, it's so clear. And trust me and Madison have both been in relationships where we are this poor girl that was reaching out.
Everybody
to us.
Else is like, what the fuck?
And we are being blind. You know, they call it rose-colored goggles or whatever. They're blind to what's actually happening to the point where they feel like asking these questions makes sense to them when in reality, the answer is so clear. Like, this person doesn't give a fuck about you. This person does not value you or care about you. Otherwise, they would not be treating you this way.
And it's funny because something that we've also touched on, but I think we would like to touch on a little bit more deeply tonight, and something that this listener said to me was that she looked, felt, and acted fucking crazy. She's showing up to this guy's location, taking pictures of his car, taking pictures of a hotel that he's at, like really acting out of character for her. And he's, of course, calling her batshit crazy. Why are you following me? Why are you stalking me? Meanwhile, the whole time he's cheating, lying, gaslighting, like all of the things.
The whole time she's right. And she's going to these great lengths to prove just even to herself that she's right and not crazy by doing all of these crazy things, because that's like where those relationships leave you. They leave you with no other option. But I mean, you could leave, but
there's no other option.
But when you're so deep in it, you know, sometimes you just need that clarity, or you're searching, because you're not going to go somewhere expecting to find out something. Because like, if you're going to a hotel, you're hoping that you find him, catch him in a lie, probably to convince yourself to leave, because you can't catch this guy in anything because he's gaslighting you. He has an excuse for everything. You're trying so hard to find a reason to leave, even whether or not you leave when you find out is another story. But like, that's subconsciously why you're doing that.
Well, and you know, it's so funny because you can catch someone red-handed in a fucking lie.
Yeah.
And
they can talk their way out of it.
They gaslight you into thinking you could red-handed and you could still end up looking and feeling completely fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what happened in this situation, is like, she caught him straight up with two other women at a hotel, and he managed to lie his way out of the situation and make her feel fucking crazy.
Yeah.
So she's like, am I crazy? And I'm like, listening to this from an outsider's perspective, you're crazy for staying.
Yeah.
But when you're not in it, when you don't know what's going on and the depths of what this manipulative person is saying, it's so easy to say that. But what he's saying to her, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. He has a lie. He has an excuse that makes fucking sense, because she wants it to make sense. Mm-hmm. She wants to believe that the person that she's invested in, that she cares about, wouldn't do that to her. But like, he would.
And a term that I think is thrown around a lot and used incorrectly, which kind of devalues what it actually is the term gaslighting. Gaslighting is actually a really terrible thing. And if it's done, what do I say, done right, and it can really fuck you up. And I feel like nowadays it's one of those buzzwords that everyone's like, oh, I'm being gaslit. Oh, I'm being gaslit. When you're truly being gaslit, like, this is the definition of being gaslit. Being gaslit means you know the truth about something and you bring it up to somebody and they make you feel like you're wrong or you're crazy. Like, what you're saying is not true. You're like, the sky is blue. They're like, no, it's not. The sky is fucking purple. When in fact, the sky is blue. Okay, so that's what gaslighting is. So when you're in a relationship and you're right so much, or there's so many issues, but you're never actually right, or you're always being taken down a different path, or told to believe, or shown to believe something different than the truth that you know, you literally start to go insane. Like, you start to remember conversations and you start to look back through things things because you're like, did I say that? Or like the person you're arguing with says something and then they say they never said that. You don't have the conversation recorded. So you're like,
did they say that?
And then you start to doubt yourself. And it's like this vicious fucking cycle when in fact, this person is doing this, tormenting you. And when you react to this type of abuse, you're usually looked at as the crazy one versus the person that's causing this is usually calm and it makes you look like the problem.
Well, and that's exactly what happens when one person is being abused and the other person is very reactive to that, because of course you're going to be reactive when you're being abused, but the person who's the abuser is usually very narcissistic, charming, and to everybody else comes off like the good guy, because all anyone else can see is that good side, the jackal to the hide that they show the whole world. So when you're reacting to their hide that nobody else gets to see, everyone thinks, God, that girl's fucking crazy. That girl's out of control. Why is she acting like that? He's so nice. This used to happen to me all the time. I'd get punched in the face and then I'd be the crazy one. Mm-hmm. It never made any sense to me.
There's a psychological term called reactive abuse. And it's when you look and feel so crazy in a relationship that to everyone around you, you look like the problem. When in fact, your reaction is a direct response to the toxicity, the gaslighting, and the abuse that you're experiencing from your partner. And I think the hardest part of being abused and then going through the cycle of reactive abuse is there comes a point where you actually start to believe that you are the problem because you are the one lashing out. You are the one yelling. You are the one throwing things. You are the one acting fucking crazy. You're acting out of character. You know you are. You know you shouldn't be screaming and yelling and doing whatever it is that's, you know, super, super fucking toxic. And you know deep down that the person making you feel crazy is causing this reaction from you, but like you're the one reacting in a way that you know is toxic. And to the outside, like if they had no context, you would be the one being sent to the insane asylum.
Like you are the fucking problem.
Yeah. And it's really hard. And sometimes, you know, when I was in this situation, it's something that you don't really realize until you're out of it. And unfortunately, when you're in this situation and you're being told you're the problem, you're acting like the problem, it's really easy to get manipulated and gaslit into feeling like you are the problem. And that makes it even harder to leave a relationship because then it turns into this almost like Stockholm syndrome type vibe where this person is making you feel like no one will ever love you or like you act this crazy, like you think you're such a problem that you need to fix this and fix this relationship and like this person deserves better than you or whatever it then leads to inside of you that you then feel like shit about yourself. It makes it hard to walk away from even the most of toxic of relationships.
I always compared it to having a picture an inch away from your face. Because if you have a picture an inch away from your face, you can only see what's right in front of you. And you don't realize what the picture actually is until it's 10 feet away. And maybe you thought that the picture was really beautiful up close, and away it's the ugliest fucking thing you've ever seen.
Yeah.
This is also how it feels, because I know it's really easy to feel like when you leave that toxic relationship or you leave that person, they're going to go find somebody else and change and treat them better. And from the outside, it appears like it's so much better. Why is he treating this girl so much better than me? I want to go back. And that's why you go back. Oh, I think it's going to be different this time. It looks like he's changed. But you have to remember, the picture is an inch away from her face.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the times too, we stay in relationships that aren't good for us out of fear of watching the person you're with move on with somebody else. And I would challenge you and ask you if you think that someone else would be happy being treated the way that you're being treated, because you have to understand, and this is something that helped me when going through a breakup and watching them move on, is like people don't change that quickly, that fast, that much. He or she is probably treating the person that they're with the exact same way that they treated you. And, you know, they probably found somebody that's less vocal about the abuse that they're experiencing. Maybe somebody that triggers their reactiveness less, somebody that is more of a doormat or more of somebody that's just okay with whatever they want, you know, whatever the conflict was between you and the person you were with. For me, it's always been, I'm not gonna let you treat me like shit. I'm not gonna let you talk to me like that. I'm gonna vocalize. I'm a very vocal person. Am I always right in that scenario? No. Like, have I learned to kind of tone it down and be a bit more respectful over the years? Of course, but I'm not gonna be a doormat. And I feel like in a lot of cases, the reason that certain people are able to be the cause of such a toxic relationship and then move on to what seems to be such a peaceful relationship is because they're probably with somebody that just allows their behavior.
And I'm sorry, but who gives a fuck about his relationship with his next girlfriend? All you should care about is your life and what you're experiencing. Would you rather be with this person and be absolutely miserable and unhappy and treated like a doormat than allow him to move on? Because the only thing you're doing by not allowing him to move on is creating your own reality. And your reality sucks. We all know it. Like, that's not the life you want to keep living. You're never going to be happy or fulfilled or with the person that actually cares about you when you're holding on to somebody that treats you like shit because you're scared they're going to move on. Mm-hmm. They're going to move on. Probably in like a week. Mm-hmm. That's the funniest thing about people like this. They don't give a fuck about you. You leaving them.
Damn, Madison.
It changes nothing. Yeah. They will find the next, and this sounds so rude, but I was her, so I can say it. Naive, idiotic, young person. I don't want to say girl, but girl that doesn't understand, that hasn't been through that situation yet. And they'll do the same thing over. It's rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat.
And if you have a fear of breaking up with somebody because you're afraid of watching them move on, I would ask yourself this. Would you rather go through the pain of losing them and watching them move on for, I don't know, let's say at most 6 months to a year? Or would you rather keep experiencing the same pain and arguments and yelling and sleepless nights and tears and trauma over and over and over again for the rest of your life? Or like, when are you going to take the short-term pain for like the long-term happiness?
Long-term satisfaction. Look at it like this. Psychologists say that it takes half the time that you were in a relationship to get over it. So every day that you continue in a relationship that you're not happy in, you're pushing out your healing period that much further. If you want to move on, the longer you stay, the longer you're going to hurt. And you know, I know, they know, your mom knows, your dad knows, your uncle, your grandpa, grandpa's grandma's Magdalene.
Your left toe knows.
Everybody fucking knows that you guys are going to break up at some point. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be with this person forever because that's not sustainable.
Well, when you're fighting every single day in a relationship and you keep telling yourself it's going to work, it's going to, you know, you're going to figure this out, you're going to figure that out. At what point do you just say like, I just want to be treated better and I don't want to have to fight for that? I mean, Madison's speaking from a place of a very specific situation, which is not the most common, hopefully, situation of like very physical, very, very abusive. Like the person that was reaching out to us was speaking of like a much lesser version, very, very much lesser version of abuse, where it's less obvious until you kind of lay it all out like that. But it's like abuse could be something as simple as like every time they come home from work, they're in a bad mood because they're tired. So they don't want to hug or kiss you. So they want to go to bed. And you're the one that's supposed to respect that when you're craving some love and affection. Like to me, maybe that's not directly quote unquote abuse, but that's not something that I would want in my relationship. Like suck it the fuck up and give me a hug and a kiss because I need a hug and a kiss.
It's as simple as not feeling safe to express your emotions or the way you're feeling because you're scared of the way your partner is going to react.
Yeah.
Walking on eggshells of any sort, whether those are burning hot coals or glass or eggshells, is still not a safe place to be in. If you can't tell your partner how you're feeling because you're scared of their reaction, that is a form of abuse. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if they don't like what you're gonna say. Mm-hmm. They don't get to treat you like it doesn't matter.
Yeah. And I'll play devil's advocate here a little bit because not the last podcast, but the podcast before that, we talked about when do you know if it's time to walk away? And we basically touched on a lot of things that you can fix in a relationship, that you can work through in a relationship. So like, obviously the details and the semantics of the relationship matter. We're not saying like, oh, you're having this issue, it's never gonna work. Like you should, your relationship's not gonna have issues or anything we mentioned, like shouldn't happen or you should leave. Like these things are sometimes communication errors, learning errors, age errors. Error is not the right word, but you get where I'm going with this. And it becomes a group effort to work through them. And after a certain point, yeah, if they can't figure it out, then fuck that. Go be happy with someone that can give you what you need. A lot of the people that reach out to us and tell us about their relationship problems, it's like really bad. And sometimes we read these things and we're like, what are you thinking? Like, I want to shake her and be like, this guy doesn't give a fuck about you. Like if you're being constantly lied to, cheated on, if he leaves you for another girl and then comes back to you, but then still talks to the girl and like tries to make it seem like they're friends. Like that's literally something that someone was saying to me. Like that is the type of shit where it's like, okay, you need to get the fuck out.
Or a situationship of any sort. Like I understand there's a talking phase, but if you're in a situationship with someone after a year,
oh my God, get out.
There's no, at that point, it's just you not being willing to walk away because you're scared of losing the person. Well, you know, like, at that point that they don't want you.
Well, it's like, I think to their defense, you know, Madison's in quite a very blunt.
Am I being...
She's very blunt tonight. I think to the defense
has one
of
cocktail.
I think to the defense of people that stay in those situations, like the person that they're with obviously makes them feel like they're wanted and desired and they want to be there. And I think sometimes it's hard for logic to then come into play when you're so emotionally invested in somebody and you've spent so much time with them, for your logical side of your brain to be like, if they were serious about me, they would be with me and only me and make me their girlfriend. And you know, you have to think like the person sitting there telling them, I'm just on a place in my life where I can have a relationship and like I gotta get my work, my money up, and whatever their excuse is, I'm just gonna say this and you could do whatever you want with it. If someone wants to be with you, they will be with you. Their work won't matter, their financial situation won't matter, their fucking emotional well-being won't fucking matter. They could have lost both of their legs and
I'm blunt.
They could have, you know, my point is like they will be with you if they want to be with you, and maybe they kind of want to be with you, but like they don't enough to date you. Maybe it takes you leaving for them to figure it out. Well, fucking whatever. You need to leave to go find somebody that worships the ground you walk on, because that person exists. And the only
100%
reason
they do,
you would stay with somebody that's like making you feel like not wanted, is if you really truly felt like there wasn't something better out there. And I think personally, being single is better than being with someone that half-asses their sentiment towards you and how they feel about you, how they treat you, the time they put towards you. Because, you know, us as women, and I'm speaking towards women, I'm not trying to disclude any of the men that are listening, but I can only speak to a woman's experience. When we want something and when we like someone or love someone or are in a relationship with somebody, we invest so much of our mental, not even like physical time, because, you know, that has to be given equally for that to happen, but like our mental space, you think about that person 24/7. You miss that person 24/7. All you do, you're checking your phone constantly. Like, guys are not really built in the same way. Like, they can kind of go about their day and not think about you.
Compartmentalize a lot differently.
Yes.
Yeah.
And obviously, if someone is like in love with you, they're going to think about you more and make time. And like, there's an obligation to reach out to you. But if there's no obligation, they're not going to make time to talk to you throughout the day. And then they're going to blame it on work, which is a fair reason if you're not dating somebody. And I think a lot of guys like to keep these girls in these positions to keep their autonomy and their freedom. But then the second that they meet the girl that's going to change all of that for them, all of the other girls get thrown to the side. And it's not that they didn't care about these other girls, but like, they always knew that they didn't want to be with them. And I had a guy friend once that told me that a guy knows if he wants to date you, marry you, or just fuck you within the first date.
That's violent.
And so if he's not dating you or marrying you and he's just fucking you, then there's your answer.
And that's so true. And I think what girls need to realize is you are that person for somebody. Like, you are the girl that changes everything for one person. It feels really shitty when it's like, why am I not the girl for this guy? Why am I not changing things for him? Why won't he change for me? Why am I not good enough? But it's just not your person.
Yeah.
There is a guy or a person out there that's gonna meet you, and that's it. They feel like that about you. They're gonna commit, change, marry, whatever. It's gonna happen. You're gonna be like, oh my God, it was so stupid that I was so worried about all these fucking idiots all this time. But you're not gonna meet that person if you're wasting time with a person that only wants to fuck you. And if you put half of the energy into yourself that you do into trying to change the way that he treats you, you probably wouldn't want to be with him in the first place, because you'd be a lot better version of yourself. You'd be in the gym. You'd be in a better career position. You'd be in a better mental health position. Whatever it is, the energy, the time that you dump into trying to make this person want you, if you put that into yourself, you would not only find the person that actually wants you, but feel a lot better about yourself.
Yeah.
And so I apologize if I sound blunt or angry or fucking, you're like personally attacked. I'm like, yeah. Regina George personally attacking everyone.
Victimless.
But as somebody who's been on both sides, like the severe end of both sides, it's so hard for me to watch good people hurt, good people get treated like complete garbage, when I know there's a way out and a better other side.
I think the hard part truly is the lack mindset that comes with dating, because it is so hard to meet like a good person nowadays. And it's so hard to meet somebody that not only you connect with on an emotional level, but like they're also a good person and they're like this and they're that and they just check all the boxes. Like, it's really hard. But I would again challenge you and ask yourself, is the guy that you're talking to actually that good of a person? Do you guys actually connect on that many things? Do you actually have that deep bond that is keeping you with this guy that you think you'll never find anywhere else? Or is it lust? And is it just something that you want so badly that is now confused with comfortability?
Do you want them because they don't want you. And it's that push and pull cycle of, I need to make sure that I can acquire this person's love and affection because they won't give it to me. And that makes me feel like I'm not good enough. That's not a reason to like somebody.
Yeah. And back to like what she was saying about it, putting energy into yourself. I like, that's such a fucking cliche. It's like you go through a breakup, you get dumped, and everyone's like, great, you have so much time for yourself. And like, put all the focus on yourself. Like, nobody wants to fucking hear that because no shit. Like, I could be doing that this whole time, but it really is the truth because it builds self-esteem and it builds self-worth. It builds self-trust. It builds self-confidence. And the only reason that you would want less for yourself is if you didn't feel like the person you were was deserving. And I swear, I know that this shit sounds so tired. We get it. We know. It's like, you know. But I keep saying it because I've also had heard all of this shit 1 million times. And you never know when it's going to actually click with someone. You never know when you're going to hear something. And then it actually, like, the light bulb turns on where you're like, whoa.
Well, like, what point are they at in their journey?
Yeah.
Because if it's like you're not ready to move on, then what I'm saying right now doesn't matter at all.
People can only meet you where they have been or where they are.
Exactly. You can't pull somebody forward.
Yeah.
You can say to them over and over and over and over. And that happened to me and you, both of us, me to you, you to me.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Look at this. Look at the situation. It's so, be analytical and not emotional for 2 seconds. It's
impossible.
If you're not ready, it's not going to happen. And you're not going to know if you're ready until you know that you're ready.
Yeah.
I'd also like to make the point that if he wanted to, he would. And if he's not, it's because he doesn't want to.
Mm-hmm. I do agree with that sentiment, but I do want to be clear because that is a little bit toxic at times. Like, if he's not buying you flowers every single fucking day,
that's not what we're talking about.
I just feel like social media has spun that to be like where it was something true and good. Now I feel like it's if he's not doing everything perfect all of the time that you see all over social media, let's make it very clear. If he wanted to date you, he would. If he wanted to treat you well, he would. Like, those are the most simple things to be in a relationship. It's really not that fucking hard to treat somebody well and to be in love if you actually love somebody.
If you love somebody, it is easy.
Yeah.
If he wanted to keep you, he would.
Yeah.
We're not saying that it needs to be something unrealistic because real love is not unrealistic, but real love is pretty fucking simple.
When you actually love somebody and when somebody actually loves you, it is so easy to show that person that you love them because you're in love.
Like, you want to.
It's so easy because it's natural. It flows out of you naturally. You're excited to see them. You want to make them feel good. You want to do things to surprise them, to make them happy because it makes you happy because you fucking love this person. So if someone's not treating you and doing things that show that they love you, it's unfortunately probably because they don't.
Or they're not capable of that level of love. But this should exist even when you're upset with each other.
Yeah.
Even when you're mad. Like, I know that real love exists for me because even when my partner has done something that really bothers me, which is rare, but it happens, I still make his lunch. Like, I still show up. I still hug him. I still kiss him. Like, you still love your partner even when you're pissed off at them.
Yeah, like, and don't punish them.
If someone is punishing you or treating you with disrespect or hate because they're mad at you about something that you did that they didn't like, they don't love you.
Yeah.
Or they're not capable of that level of love. Either way, you don't deserve it and it's not for you.
Yeah.
Someone who punishes you because you didn't do what they wanted you to do does not respect you. So this pod has been a very long-winded way of saying that abuse comes in many shapes and sizes. And if you feel like you're in a situation where you're being abused, unless you genuinely are actually a narcissist yourself, you probably are. I mean, there are some instances where the abuser thinks they are the victim.
But like, I feel like even in those scenarios, they know they're not being
abused.
They
really know.
Like, if you know what I mean? Like, narcissistic people are generally pretty intelligent.
Yeah.
And that's why they're able to manipulate a situation so easily is because they're usually really smart. And that's why they're so hard to deal with, because they're usually like 3 steps ahead of you, like almost like a fucking serial killer.
It's insane. Like, if you're always the one catching somebody in a lie, if you're the one making the pros and cons list.
To be able to talk yourself out of every situation with a lie that quickly on the spot, like, you have to have some intellect to back yourself up. So like, these people, they know that they're traumatizing you. They know that they're abusing you, and they probably still view themselves as the victim, but like, deep down, they know that they are the problem. But like, to the outside world, they're playing the victim.
Well, you know, 100%. It's kind of funny. I always wondered about that. Like, does the person who's the bad person, the toxic person, the abusive, the piece of shit, whatever, do they know?
That's a good question, actually.
That they are that person? Because you look at the cycle. With my ex, for example, the same thing has happened over and over and over. girl after girl after girl just absolutely world destroyed, brain mentally fucked up. Does he know?
He has to.
That he is a piece of human trash?
I think that they know that they are like treating people this way and doing these things, but I feel like in their delusion, they find a way to justify it because of their trauma or what they went through, or like, you know, their personal, whatever the reason is that they justify it with. And then when you react a certain way, they probably view it as like, okay, but see how she reacts and see how crazy she is. Well, that like, then I'm justified.
That justifies my behavior.
Yeah, me treating her like this because she acts like that.
I guess it's just hard for me to comprehend because I can't imagine like physically treating another human being like that, mm-hmm. and being able to live with myself, let alone justify my behaviors. Yeah. What makes the difference between a person who does those things?
Yeah.
A person who's okay with those things and repeats those things over and over and over. Like, are people just that fucking bad?
Some people truly genuinely are. I think to take accountability is one thing, but to have like a conscience is another thing. And I think that you can not take accountability and still have a conscience. And I think sometimes people that lack the conscience side of things are obviously never going to take accountability and are never going to view themselves in the way that they actually are because they just don't care how they're treating you.
Yeah, they just don't care enough. They only care how they feel. Yeah. And I guess that's the whole point to narcissism is you don't care how you make other people feel. You only care how they make you feel.
Yes. And that's actually something that you used to tell me with my really toxic ex is you told me that Ali, because I was so confused why the fuck he loved me so deeply, love bombed me, but like still loved me. And then all of a sudden could not stand me. And Madison was like, well, Ali, because, you know, he's the type of person that he's only going to love you as long as you're making him feel good about himself. The second that you held a mirror up in front of his face or made him feel bad about himself or had to face himself and his toxic traits, he did not want that. That's not why he joined this relationship. That's not why a lot of these people get into relationships. It's not because they want to change. It's because they want someone to fucking blow smoke up their ass and tell them how great they are. And usually in the beginning of a relationship, when someone really is into you and it's going great because you don't fucking know each other, you've been together for 0.2 seconds, you're pretty smitten with this person. And you know, you're not going to like meet somebody and immediately start telling them what's wrong with them because you don't know yet. So then once you figure out what they're toxic traits are and you're, you know, trying to have a healthy, happy relationship by voicing the things that are bothering you, the narcissist is going to want nothing to do with you past that point because you're not feeding their delusion about how great they are. You're not there. Like, their mom tells them that they're great and they can do no wrong. Why can't you?
Absolutely. And like, to that point, if you're always scared that somebody is going to leave you for something that you've done, and you're always walking on eggshells with a relationship and wondering when your next mistake is and when they're going to be mad at you, when the next fallout's going to be. It's like one of those things in a factory where it's like there's been 0 days since an accident and you're just counting down till the next accident. Mm-hmm. That's because you're in a toxic relationship.
Yeah.
Like, you should not be concerned in a healthy relationship that your partner is just going to up and fucking leave you. Mm-hmm. You can go through fights and have issues and have horrible things happen in your relationship and not be worried that your partner is going to leave. You shouldn't have to do things that make you uncomfortable and are out of character for you all of the time just so that a person wants to be with you.
Yeah, walking on eggshells, trying to fit into a mold that's not meant for you. Like, there are signs when you're not meant for a certain place in your life. This isn't just pertaining to relationships, like anything in your life. The universe won't allow you to stay somewhere comfortably that you're not meant to be. Like, there will always be pushback. It will always feel like an uphill battle. If you're somewhere that you are not supposed to be, if you're with someone you're not meant to be with, if you're in a job that you're not meant to be, if you're in a city that you're not meant to be living in, it won't feel natural and it won't feel good. You're not going to have peace in a place that you don't belong.
Well, and most of the time in these situations, people are going to pretend like you're the problem so they don't have to feel guilty about the way they treated you. And that is the number one sign that somebody is a narcissist.
Yeah.
Because they will make you the bad guy so they don't have to feel bad about what they've done to you.
Yeah, or take accountability.
And this is why it's so hard when you're changing your life. It's like, it's almost like a piece of you is dying. Like, when you're getting out of these relationships, like, it feels like you're dying. But that's because you're legitimately killing your old life.
It's a good thing.
Like, that pain is just the beginning of rebirth. Yeah.
And I think, like, I forget what I heard recently, but I heard something like, tension in life is the catalyst for change. So if you're feeling like your life is not going super smoothly, or there's pushback, or there's, you know, challenges, or like it's not going perfectly, there's a reason for that, because the universe or God or whatever you believe in is trying to instill change and growth. And the only time that anything changes is when there's tension.
I never used to believe that. I used to think that like life was kind of just hard and mm-hmm. that's just the way it was. There was always tension. But that was my life pulling me towards the life that I wanted and deserved. When you are in a situation and a place in your life where you are where you're supposed to be, you feel like a level of ease and a level of peace that you have never experienced before, because you don't realize when you're living in fight or flight that you're living in fight or flight. Yeah.
Well, it doesn't even have to be like that intense either. It could be just like something as simple as, you know, you're having problems at work with your boss and this is happening to teach you patience. You're having troubles with communication at work with your boss, or there's frustrations in like some specific area of your life that, you know, is not detrimental to your day to day. It's doable. It's livable. It's not like ruining your life. And this doesn't just have to be about relationships, right? It could be about anything in your life. It's happening to help you grow. You might think, God, this is so fucking annoying. Why is this happening? Why can't this shit just go the way that I want it to go? Why can't life just work out? Why is this happening to me? Well, it's happening for you, not to you. It's happening for you so that you can grow into whatever person or learn whatever lesson that you need to learn to grow into the next version of yourself that is meant to live a very specific life. But in order to live that specific life, to have that specific amount of money, to have that specific relationship, to have that specific group of friends, you have to become the person that's deserving of that. And that doesn't mean you're not deserving of it now, because we are all deserving and we are all worthy, but
in every version of life.
But if you were given the version of life that you're intended to have right now before you're the person that's meant to have it, you would fuck it up.
Oh, for sure you would fuck it up.
You would be handed it and it would be taken right away from you, because there's you would ruin it.
A silver spoon doesn't do anyone any good.
Yeah.
Like, you have to get to where you need to be.
Yeah.
And this is some cliche bullfunkery that I'm about to say.
Bullfunkery.
But you guys are used to my cliche bullfunkery by now. I mean, cliches are, they kind of a fucking
They're
point,
a
honestly.
Cliche for a reason. Yeah.
Every experience is a lesson. If you don't learn, get ready to experience a little bit more. If you don't learn from the experience, then you're going to experience it again and again and again until you learn to keep yourself out of that situation.
And you might ask yourself, like, why do I keep dating the same type of man? Well, there's a lesson that you have not learned. And for me, the lesson was I kept dating guys that were narcissistic, or guys that were unavailable, or guys that were avoidant, or guys that just had a fuckload of problems, dude. But they all had like one similar aspect in mind, which was that they did not treat me well. And, you know, they were all very different in a sense. But at the end of the day, the one thing that was in common with all of these people was that I never left. I stayed until they left me. And I swear the universe was trying to make it very clear to me that I was not going to meet the person that I'm meant to be with, or even just like a different genre of guy that was like emotionally intelligent, kind, whatever the fuck that all the other men that I dated in my life were not, that I was so desperately seeking. I would see these red flags and I would choose to stay. And the one time that I left and chose to leave and actually walked away, I ended up meeting the person that I'm with now. And I'm, you know, we're very new into a relationship. Like, we have our struggles. It's not perfect, but he is so fucking different.
He's a good person.
Than every other guy I've been with. Like, he doesn't show any of like the red flags that I used to just overlook that were so clear. Like, it's almost like, you know, we have issues and it comes down to like, is it a compatibility issue or can we get through it? But it's never like, oh, he's a red flag.
He's a toxic person.
Yeah. Like,
it's almost like the universe will reward you for listening to it. And I know that sounds fucking stupid, but if you find yourself in repeating patterns, even if the guys are very different, like, because that's a really good point.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, well, this guy didn't punch me in the face.
Yeah.
So I'm trying.
Yeah.
But it's like, there is a pattern.
A theme. You gotta find the theme.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And until you listen to the universe and listen into your intuition and respect yourself and have the confidence to leave those situations, it's gonna keep happening.
For me, I think that the common theme was actually more within myself than it was with them. Like, I was given guys that were not meant for me, and the universe wasn't going to give me a guy that I could possibly actually work on like a real relationship with until I had the courage and the self-worth to recognize, and the in fucking brain, quite frankly, to look at this person that I'm seeing and say, this person doesn't care about me. Even if they do care about me, they're not treating me the way that I deserve to be treated, and I deserve better, and leave to go get better. The second that I left to go get better for myself, I was handed better. You know, obviously life isn't perfect, and I won't say that everything with my relationship now has been perfect, but not once did I ever experience the same pattern that I experienced with every other guy that I've been with, that I was in this fucking vicious cycle with.
And I would just like to give a little tip that if we are empowering you to leave right now, don't leave with the expectation that they're going to follow or chase you.
Yeah.
Because there is nothing more disappointing than finally mustering up the courage to walk away from a shitty situation and they don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
That's not always going to happen. There are like some toxic crazy guys that are going to like, oh, that's when they're going to kick on the jets.
Sometimes they're like, wait, fuck, you've never done this before.
Oh yeah. And like things will, like all of a sudden they're going to come calling back. But there's also the situations like where, especially if you're not very deep into it and it just seems like a situationship, a guy that doesn't care, like he could care less.
Yeah.
Don't let that hurt your ego or make you insecure. Just know that that person wasn't meant for you. And whether you did this in 1 month or they did it in a year, it was going
to
happen.
And the other thing I will say is like, don't expect to walk away and it to be easy, because the last time that I did this, or the first time I ever did this, I was sad and I missed this person for a very long time. Looking back on it, I'm like, what the fuck was I missing? The inconsistent communication, the fact that they never wanted to come see me, like all of the bad things. Like it's, you grow an attachment to them. It's an attachment. It's not real. It's an attachment. It's not real. Let me say this one more time. It is an attachment. It is not real. You do not feel real feelings for this person. You feel an attachment to them because you talk to them every day, because you hang out with them, because you're only talking to them on this deeper level, quote unquote, deeper fucking level. It's really not that fucking deep. It's just you're not talking to anybody else, so it feels that way. You have convinced yourself that this could be potentially something. The second that a woman convinces themselves that there's potential in a man, it's almost like we forget that it's just potential.
We made it up.
We view that potential that we made up in our heads as fact.
As who they are. Ma'am, you made that up.
Yeah.
They never showed you that that's who they were. That's just who you wanted them to be.
But my point being is don't expect it to be easy, because you will miss them. And don't expect you to just walk into the arms of your Prince Charming like immediately after. Because
you walked
that.
Away. Yeah.
Yeah. Like maybe, hopefully, I hope that happens to you.
But it doesn't.
It could, but if it doesn't.
It doesn't. Damn, Mad. Chill the fuck out.
It could happen. It couldn't happen. But like, don't let that discourage you, because the one thing that you will gain from walking away from someone that treats you like shit is the second that you no longer have this attachment towards that person, they just become like any other regular schmegular guy that you see walking down the street, and you can't fucking wrap your head around why you were so upset about this person. And it kind of sets the tone for the next time you go through something like this, and you're able to view it from a different perspective, because that's all life is at the end of the day, is like experiences and then viewing things through your experiences. So if you've never experienced something in a certain way, you're never going to be able to see it that way. You have to allow yourself to experience the pain of things in order to see things from the perspective that you're meant to see them from, if that even fucking makes sense.
It totally does. Yeah. And I challenge you, fatties. This is a podcast of challenging. I think we said that like three times tonight.
Mainly me, but yeah.
I challenge you, if you're in a situation like this, or a situation where you're unhappy, or a toxic situation, or a situation that's not toxic, but you don't know if you're meant to be with this person, ask yourself, what do I actually like about this person? What qualities does this person have that I admire? Mm-hmm. What values, what morals, what behaviors do I love, like about this person? If you're in a toxic relationship or a shitty situationship, I can guarantee you that list is going to be very short.
It's going to be like, I like his eyes. I like his face.
He's hot.
We have sex.
He makes me feel special when we're having sex. No, but dead ass though. We're giggling, but like dead ass.
No, I remember one time I was in a really, really, really fucking horrible relationship, and Madison made me write a pros and cons list. And my cons were like, spits in my face when he's mad at me. Throws my hairbrush at the back of my head when we yell. Makes me cry myself to sleep. And the pros were like, I love his eyes.
I like his voice.
He has a family.
Yeah.
I don't have that.
He has two legs.
Yeah. No, it was so polar opposite from pros to cons.
When you put...
I went back.
Many, many times. Until you didn't.
Yeah.
When you put the perspective in front of your face of humanize this person, you have put them on a pedestal. Yeah. They are on a pedestal to the point where you can't knock them down. Humanize them, bring them back down to earth and say, I put you on this pedestal because I wanted you to be someone you were not. I saw the potential in you and I thought that's who you were going to be. But who are you really? What characteristics do you actually show? And do I like any of them? Mm-hmm. I can pretty much guarantee you that if someone treats you like shit, you're not going to like anything about them.
Yeah.
And you have to ask yourself at that point, when you have made it so crystal clear that you don't actually like this person, do you respect yourself enough to walk away? Or are you going to stay in a situation where you don't really like someone because they're hot and they don't want you back and you want their love and affection?
Another exercise you could do is make a list of the things that you want in a relationship. Like your perfect man, list out his, not, this isn't just physical, you can add physical on there, but like the emotional aspects of this person, like how they treat you, how they talk to you. Is their love language a physical touch, or is it quality time? Words of affirmation? Are they complimentary? Are they ambitious? Are they, you know, whatever it is that like your perfect man, and then make your list about describing your partner and their characteristics, and then compare the two.
What matches up?
Yeah.
It's probably, in a bad situation, not very much.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Like, we're not trying to hate on you for this, because we'll round this pod out by saying we are human beings. We need human connection. We crave emotional, physical love and connection over anything else in this world. Human beings are designed to migrate towards each other, flock towards each other. Whatever these signs that you feel like is a chemical connection, physical connection, whatever it might be.
Or the desire that makes you want it so badly. Like, you know, in a society where, depending on what your age you're at, like we're at an age where everyone's getting married. A lot of societal pressure. You see it in movies, this fairy tale love. Everyone wants to feel loved and desired. And I think part of the reason that we accept love that isn't meant for us is because at least someone is wanting and desiring us, even if it's not really that great. Because when you're single, it's a little bit scary to think, even when you're happily single, it's a little bit scary to sit there and think, am I not lovable because no one wants to love me? Versus when you're in a relationship and someone would die for you, it's like, oh my God, you feel like you are on top of the world.
I've leveled up.
Yeah, because someone like loves you that much, it's almost like such a validating thing. When in reality, that only goes so far, because the real validation that you have to instill is within yourself.
Absolutely. So don't give yourself shit or feel guilty or hate yourself for staying in situations that don't serve you, because it's your human instinct.
And we've all done it.
We all want the human connection.
But you do get to choose. And I know it's not easy. And like, I know us fucking telling it to you and screaming it into these microphones isn't going to fix it. Because like, believe me, it doesn't help me when I'm going through these things to have Madison scream these things at me, which there have been many years.
But it helps her in the long run. Because how many times has she been like, remember Madison, that advice you gave me?
It does help me. But it's like, I understand. And so does Madison, not leaving even when you know you should, because it's really just not that simple, especially depending on what stage and phase you are in your life, because you have to, again, experience things to know what the right choice is for you. And I think when we're in love, we try to be optimistic about the position that we're in and the person that we're with. And we don't want to believe the worst and see the worst. And so we let them be the worst, but we try to reel it back and say, that's not who they really are. Like, you know, they can change. They could be this. You know what? Maybe that's true, but it's probably not true in this lifetime or in any time where it's worth you waiting and wasting your time.
And don't let it make you bitter, right? Like, don't let it make you see the worst in people just because you had a bad experience, because there's so many really, really good people out there. And if you're bitter and angry and you only see the worst in people, it's only going to make it that much harder to connect with the person who deserves you and who you deserve. So don't be angry. Just be over it.
Yeah.
Just move on.
I like that. Don't be angry. Be over it.
Just be over it. Like, the less emotionally charged you are in those situations, the more control you have over the situation.
Yeah. Speaking of being over it, this podcast.
I'm over this fucking
this podcast is coming to an abrupt end, because my timer just went off saying that we only have X amount.
I feel like we were a little rambly girlies tonight.
We were rambly girlies, but it was nice to not have such a structured podcast. Hopefully you guys like when we ramble like this. We were a little bit all over the place, but good intentions.
Sometimes we have scheduled topics and it works out really well. Sometimes, like a situation with our listener happened where you're kind of like triggered by a situation. Yeah. You just yap and yam.
Yep
so
and yam.
We'll see you next week. We're actually really excited about our topic next week.
Yes,
so
we are.
All tune right. in.
We'll tell you all about Madison's trip to the Super Bowl and
go Birds.
About my boring weekend at home.
Bye, baddies. See you next week.
Cheers.